The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 4th Chapter, Text No. 3, given by His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, recorded on September 9, 1994, in Bombay, India.
Bhuta Sanchodita Krishna Krita Van Sanghitam Muni.
And at what place was this first begun? And why was this taken up? From where did Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, the great sage, get the inspiration to compile this literature?
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the special contribution of Srila Vyasadeva, there are so many inquiries by the learned Shaunaka Muni. It was known to them that Srila Vyasadeva had already explained the text of the Vedas in various ways up to the Mahabharata to the understanding of less intelligent women, Shudras, and fallen members of the family of the twice born. Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental to all of them because it has nothing to do with anything mundane. So the inquiries are very intelligent and relevant.
Is declared by
Srila Vedavyas himself to be the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literatures. Nigama kalpatador galitam palam sukamukaram rita drava samyutam hibata bhagavatam rasamalayam bahura haurasika bhuvi bhavakaha. That the Vedas are compared to a desire tree. And upon that desire tree, all desires of all living beings can be fulfilled. Just as we find demons like Hiranyakashipu, he was actually a great scholar of the Vedas. When Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Varahadev, the family members headed by Diti, the mother of these two brothers, they were weeping. They were crying piteously. Even though Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, these two brothers, so powerful due to performing austerities, and all of the austerities that they performed were in conjunction from what they learned from Vedic knowledge, how to perform yajna, how to perform tapasya, which particular demigod to approach, for which particular powers that they desire. After getting these powers, they cause so much harm, pain, and so much death. But when Hiranyaksha was killed by the Lord, his own family members wept and cried, just as he had made so many others weep and cry. At that time, Hiranyakashipu, seeing his mother in such distress, he began to pacify them by speaking transcendental knowledge, by citing perfect philosophy from the Vedic literatures. Sometimes the best time to preach and the best place to preach is at the funeral, because at that time everyone is naturally weeping over the loss of their loved one, and they cannot help from thinking that someday I will also be in this predicament where I will die. So people become very introspective, reflective, and they're open for higher knowledge. And the only thing that can really pacify a person in such lamentation is an understanding of the eternal nature of the soul. So Hiranyakashipu began to cite various stories from the Puranas describing how the soul is eternal and the body is temporary, and there is no need to weep over the inevitable loss of a physical body. In fact, what he was speaking was exactly what our acharyas speak. And he even cited the teachings of one of the great Mahajans, Yamaraj. He told a story of how there was a great king named Sujagya. And this king was very powerful and very beautiful, and he had great royal opulences, and he had many beautiful, chaste and faithful wives. But one time on the battlefield, by the unpredictable will of destiny, he was killed. Background music for Srimad Bhagavatam class. And when he was laying there with his hair disheveled, his teeth clenched, his weapons on the ground, his wives, they all began to cry and to weep and to beat their hands against their chest, crying out, "Alas, alas, what will become of us? Who will protect us?" And it was time for the funeral to take place, but the wives were so attached, holding on to the feet and the various limbs of his body, weeping, saying, "My dear loved one, my dear master, please don't leave us. Please do not go away." And they would not allow the body to be burned. They were too much attached to this dead corpse. At that time, Yamaraj, the great Mahajan, devotee of Lord Krishna, he took the form of a beautiful little boy, because generally people don't like to listen to sadhus, and they don't like to listen to educated grown men who know the truth, because they figure a sadhu or an educated grown scholar, he's going to speak from the Vedas. It's nothing very important. So he took the form of a little boy, because when a little boy speaks high philosophy, it's so extraordinary that everyone will listen. So he began to speak, and he explained the story of this family of birds, where there was a mother bird and a father bird and so many little children birds. And the mother and all the children, they were all caught in the net of a hunter. And the father bird saw them in the net, and he just came back after a hard day of looking for food for them, and he began to cry. He began to weep. How will I live without my little children? And how possibly will I live without my wife, who is my better half, who's always been so faithful and so supportive of everything I do? In this way, he actually had all opportunity to be free and go on with his life. But because he was spending all of this precious time lamenting, as he was lamenting and crying out loud, he was heard by the hunter. And the hunter appeared and also captured him. So Yamaraj explained to these queens, so your husband is dead. There's nothing you can do about it. But he's not the body. His soul is eternal, and your soul is eternal. And you have this rare and precious opportunity of human life to perfect your life and attain an eternal destination. And you're wasting your life simply lamenting for the inevitable death of a body. You should go on with your life, and you should strive for self-realization. So upon hearing the words of this young boy, the queens became so much inspired and enlightened that they all took to the path of Bhagavad Dharma, Krishna consciousness, and they all became great devotees of the Lord and became joyful. So Hiranyakashipu was explaining these beautiful stories, narrating very high, pure truths. And by doing so, Diti and all of his other relatives became enlightened and inspired. But then, due to his envious heart, he said, I will avenge the death of my brother Hiranyaksha by severing the head of Lord Vishnu and drinking his blood. So in this way we find even demons, the great demons who had the greatest powers, they accumulated their powers due to knowledge coming from the Vedas. And then there are those who are a little more pious in the mode of ignorance. Not too much more pious, but there are so many sacrifices to Goddess Kali, to Durga, for people who are too much attached to sinful activities, to somehow or other monitor their sinful activities. And for those who are karmakandis, who want material pleasures, through following various instructions of the Vedas, you can get a good husband if you want. You can get a good wife if you want. You can get nice children. All the instructions are there. What type of children? You can get very, very good health, long life. If you're old, you can become young, like Shobhari Muni. He was very, very old and wrinkled, doing tapasya on the bottom of the river Jamuna for so many long years. But due to offense to a Vaishnava, Garuda, see what Vaishnava aparad can do to a person's life. This man was doing tapasya for thousands of years under the Jamuna without even breathing air. What type of self-control is that?
how he was restraining his senses and mind.
But because he offended Garuda, the bird carrier of Vishnu, Krishna was just withdrew the protective potency that was keeping him a great yogi. Krishna's all powerful. And just by seeing a male and female fish enjoying together, he became so agitated and disturbed that he left his tapasya and he went to one great king, Mandata, and that king had so many daughters, and he said, "I want to marry your daughters. Your princess." And the king thought, "How can I marry my daughter to an old, wrinkled person like this?" He said, "If any of my daughters choose to marry you, then you can marry." Anyways, he became young and beautiful and everything. So in this way, by following the principles of the Vedas, if you're old, you can become young. If you want heavenly pleasures, you can attain heavenly planets, any one of them. You can go to Chandraloka, Suryaloka, Indraloka, Shivaloka, Brahmaloka, any single one of the heavenly planets is available through simply following particular instructions of the Vedas. If you want supernatural powers, anima, lagima, prapti, vishishta, there are 8 mystic cities you can attain. And by attaining these mystic cities, you can do such supernatural performances that people will worship you as God by the millions. If you want to be worshipped as God by millions of people, there is Vedic instructions to teach you how to have the powers where you can bewilder people to do like that too. Literally anything anyone wants in this world or beyond is available by simply following the Vedic instructions. Therefore, it is said that the Vedas are like a desire tree. Any possible thing that you want, whether you're a demon or a devotee, whether you're in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, there is the ways and the means to achieve it. And Krishna, through Vedavyas, has given this to the world. And amongst the various, if you want liberation into the Brahma Jyoti, Mukti, it is only through following the Vedic principles that that can be attained. If you want elevation to any single one of the Vaikuntha planets, or if you want elevation to Goloka Vrindavan, it's all available. But it is explained that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of all the Vedic literatures. Why? Because it deals specifically and exclusively with the essence, the goal, the summum bonum of all knowledge, and that is unalloyed, uninterrupted devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Dharma prajita kaita patra parama niramatsatanam sata vedyam vastavamatra vastu sivadam tapatrayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimba Parayadi Svara. That Vedavyas has given this Srimad Bhagavatam as his last and final word.
It is the greatest treasure amongst all of the most fortunate, pure-hearted devotees of the Lord. And therefore, Krishna himself, when he appeared in this age of Kali as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally praised and studied the Srimad Bhagavatam above all the Drishyas. Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam. He declared that it is the purest and most spotless of all Vedic literatures. Krishna himself taught us that if you want to achieve the highest perfections of life, this is the one specific literature that we should take shelter of. Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, Shaunaka Rishi, not only for his own spiritual progress, but for the benefit and welfare of all living beings, he is inquiring from Suta Goswami about the various details of this Srimad Bhagavatam. In what period and at what place was this Srimad Bhagavatam first begun? And why was this taken up? From where did Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, the great sage, get the inspiration to compile this literature? Shaunaka Rishi is anxious to hear, and therefore he is asking so many questions to inspire Suta Goswami to speak on and on and on. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam we find that to the degree one is anxious to hear the glories of the Lord, to that very degree Krishna inspires the speaker to speak. Because transcendental subject matter is none different than Krishna. Krishne sudhama bhagate dharma jnani nibisaha kalonashtadrishamesha purana kaudana udataha. Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna himself. Every syllable is none different than Krishna. Shabda Brahma. But to the degree a devotee really wants to know, really wants to hear, to that degree, Krishna, through his authorized devotees, reveals himself through transcendental sound vibration. Tadvadi pranipatina pariprasnena sevaya. If we want to understand the truth, we must be serious to inquire about the truth. We must take the initiative to seek to hear the truth. Then it is revealed to us. Today, so many of you wonderful devotees have come to Srimad Bhagavatam class. Because you have taken the time and the trouble to come all this way, to rise early in the morning, means you want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. You want to hear the truth. You want to learn more about Krishna. That is essential. Without that willingness and without that sincere desire to find higher realms of consciousness and higher truths in your life, it is not possible. In so many temples, throughout India and the world. People come and they bow down to the deities. Sometimes they don't even bow down. They just give some donation or they give some contribution to the pujari, and the pujari puts little camphor and lights it on fire and waves it around the deity, and then you take the fire on your head, and then you go and you think, now I am advanced. Now I have attained piety. Now good luck will be upon me. Most people, that's all they go to temple for. They're superstitious. If I don't go to temple, something bad may happen. And if I do go to temple, something good may happen. That is the general mentality. But how many actually come to a temple that is educating people in higher truths? How many temples even do that? That's the purpose why temples were built, so that people could come to learn how to worship and love the Lord. But the only way to do that is by associating with sadhus and hearing from them. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada so mercifully established the original Vedic culture, that within a temple there should be qualified sadhus who are teaching, according to the proper disciplic line of truth, how to love God, how to serve God, how to know God. And he established temples all over the world for this purpose. If you read in Srila Prabhupada's books, he didn't say that we have established temples so that people will come and see the deity. But he says that he has established the temple so that people have a chance to associate with devotees and learn from them. That is the purpose of these temples. Because nobody can see the deity unless they are trained in Krishna consciousness. People don't even know what they're seeing when they come to the temple. Because the Vedas say you must see through your ears, not through your eyes. When we hear the truth of what the qualities of Krishna are and what the Archamurti actually is and how the Archamurti actually benefits our life by serving and worshipping and how we can please him, then we actually see through what we have heard, and then we can see Krishna. Otherwise, because our consciousness has not been softened by transcendental sound, it is like stone, so we see stone. So Srila Prabhupada made so many wonderful, wonderful arrangements so that in every temple there is Srimad Bhagavatam class, there is Bhagavad Gita class, there is Sunday program where so many people are invited, temples all over the world. And yet, even though this opportunity is there, in almost every temple, we find that 75% of the people that come to the Sunday program, they happen to just come in time for prasad. Have you seen like this? They come just in time for prasad. And they have so many excuses. I really tried to make it, but there was a traffic jam. Or I really tried to make it, but I had a last-minute phone call, or somebody in the house was sick, or something like that. But somehow or other, everyone seems to manage to come just when the prasad is being served. Because they have no sincere desire to inquire, to learn higher truths. It's pious to come to see the deity. And it's also not only pious, but it's very enjoyable and economical as well to eat prasad at the temple. And there's so many friends that I'll meet there, and we can eat prasad together. And even I can take some home, perhaps, which will save me more money. This is good. We don't want to discourage. But it is unfortunate. But here we find, by Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy, that there are so many devotees who really want to learn about Krishna, who really want to hear the truth. It's wonderful. Sometimes at our Sunday program, the temple is completely full to hear lecture, and everyone comes. 95% of all people come before it begins. And especially when certain people speak, they know it will be very long. Sometimes not so long. But they listen. They're attentive. They want to hear. They want to learn. They want to know. They want to improve themselves. And whether there's prasad or no prasad is not even of any relevance. The prasad of Krishna's mercy that comes through transcendental sound is the satisfaction everyone wants. So this is very rare. And this is actually your good fortune, that you have this desire to improve yourselves and your spiritual lives by hearing transcendental sound. And you should always keep this as the most precious wealth that you have, that desire to hear about Krishna, that desire to associate with Krishna's devotees, and that desire to chant the holy names. Do not let Maya take this away from you. If she takes away your home, she takes away your health, she takes away all of your commodities, it's not a big loss. But if she takes away your desire and enthusiasm to come and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, then she's taken away your spiritual life. She's taken away any hope for you to understand or reconnect with Krishna. But we should know that the nature of this world is everything's trying to take away that desire to hear. Therefore, we must very, very regularly, as an austerity, keep this desire alive. Just like in a very material sense, if a person is a good athlete, he knows that the nature of the world, if you just sit around, you're going to lose that strength, that ability. You have to constantly practice. Not only to maintain that athletic ability, but to also make it increase. Huh? If a person likes to run, and he's a champion runner, he should know if he doesn't run every day, if he doesn't run for a week, he's going to lose his ability to run fast. It's the nature of this world. Whatever you have, if you don't work very hard to maintain it and improve it, it's lost. Or everyone knows in a profession, like a doctor. If the doctor doesn't associate with other doctors and read medical books about the current and the latest things, he loses his abilities as a doctor. Or even our home or our business. If we're not working very, very hard to maintain it and to make it grow, it just begins to deteriorate and fall apart. That's the law of nature. Whatever you have, if you don't work very hard, diligently and carefully to maintain it and make it grow,
it decreases and it falls to power. So somehow or other, we all have an anxious desire to hear. We want to associate with devotees. We want to hear about Krishna. We want to understand what is the goal of life. We want to learn his philosophy, his pastimes. We want guidance. But sometimes devotees, after 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 or 20 years, we think, oh, I've already heard everything. So we're not so anxious to come to Srimad Bhagavatam class. We're not so anxious to associate with devotees. And if we neglect, then Krishna takes all of our taste to hear about him away. Material nature takes it away. All our desire. A person who chants diligently every day, it's easy for that person to chant 16 rounds. It's the simplest thing in his life to just chant 16 rounds. But if we neglect it for some time, it becomes almost impossible to start chanting again. Because we lose our taste. We've neglected it. Then we have to work doubly, triply as hard to get it back. It's like we were using the example. Prabhupada said that if a young boy lifts up a little calf every day, this is what he said, and adds, because he lifts that calf every day, as the calf grows, his strength grows, and when the calf becomes a bull, he can lift it. Huh? But if you stop lifting it, then you won't even be able to lift that calf. What to speak of anything more? So we should know that the greatest treasure that we have in our life is our enthusiasm to hear and chant the glories of the Lord and associate with his devotees. But we should also know that this treasure will be taken away if you do not very, very carefully and meticulously take care of it. By the law of nature, we will lose our taste for Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have to have strong sadhana. As a discipline, we must come. And some days, even when it appears very boring, why am I sitting here listening to this Srimad Bhagavatam? I've been listening for so many years to this Srimad Bhagavatam. But if you really listen and you really understand that Krishna is in every word, whether I've heard it once before, whether I've never heard it before, or whether I've heard it 1,000 times before, still Krishna is present within this sound vibration. And he's purifying my heart and enlightening my soul. And therefore we will listen and we will inquire. Just the fact that you come here and you sit is inquiry. It is a sincere inquiry. If you have questions, you must ask those questions. If you have no specific questions, just by coming and listening submissively, you are inquiring. But it must be done every day. And we have seen some devotees, after some years of Krishna consciousness, Maya is so powerful. How she steals away their intelligence. How she steals away any hope for them to make any real spiritual advancement. She tells them that you've heard these classes, but these classes are very fundamental. They're very basic. And you are very advanced. So therefore it's boring for you. So why should you listen? So people don't come to Srimad Bhagavatam class because they think, oh, I've already heard it. I already know those things. I want to know something higher. But if you know anything higher, you know that every syllable of the Srimad Bhagavatam or any sound vibration that in any way glorifies Krishna, it will put you in ecstasy, whether it's basic or elevated. Just the word Krishna will put you in ecstasy if you're so advanced. So why not come and hear the basic glories of Lord Krishna? But it is Maya trying to steal away our taste for Krishna again with this egoistic excuse. This is not advanced enough for you. So better you stay home and read the newspaper. Or better you just sleep later. Or better you just go into the libraries looking for higher literatures. This is another trapping of Maya. If we actually want to preserve the gift that Gurudev and Krishna has given us, we have to keep it. We have to keep it fresh and alive by every day nourishing that desire to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. It is very, very essential. Because hearing is the basic principle in which all the other eight processes of devotional service are supported. Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Sravana Kirtana Smarana Bandana Pada Sevana Dasire Pujana Sakijana Atmani Vedana. But without properly hearing, attentively hearing, you cannot chant, you cannot remember, you cannot properly offer prayers or perform any of the other true processes of bhakti. So Shonaka Rishi, he was anxious to hear this Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada and the great Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, oftentimes they criticized professional recitation of the Bhagavad Saptaha. It's not that there's anything wrong with Bhagavad Saptaha itself, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days, but when it's a professional reciter who's not authorized in disciplic succession with bhakti to speak, then the sound will not change your heart or your life. But if that person is attentive to deliver the message of the previous acharyas, simply to hear for 7 days and go away has very minimal effect. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Nasta praishya bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. That you must hear this scripture every day, regularly, from the proper authority. But then people say that Maharaj Parikshit, he just listened for 7 days and he attained perfection. But try to understand that for Maharaj Parikshit, 7 days was every single day of his life. If he had 10 days to live, he would have listened for 10 days. If he had 1 year to live, he would have listened for 1 year. 7 days for Maharaj Parikshit was every day of his life. But we're thinking, I will just listen for 7 days. But the Bhagavatam explains, you must listen every day of your life. Otherwise you'll listen for 7 days and then Maya will steal away your intelligence and your taste to hear will be gone. We must keep it alive. Whenever it is possible, come to Radha Gopinath's wonderful temple and hear Srimad Bhagavatam.
come take Srila Prabhupada's books and read them very, very carefully every single day with an inquisitive mind. You see, if you are not very sincere about hearing about Krishna, you'll read Bhagavad Gita once, you'll read Bhagavatam once, and then the second time you read it, you think, oh, I already know this. I already read this. It's not very interesting. But if you're actually sincere, you can read it thousands and thousands of times. And every time you read the same sloka, you'll get a new realization. Krishna will reveal something greater, something deeper, something more wonderful about that sloka. Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna book. Many devotees, they know the stories inside and outside. Because that is the nature of transcendental subject matter. It is never stagnant. It is always increasing by nature. And for those who hear with a desire to learn, with a desire to serve, their thirst and their satisfaction and their enlightenment grows every time they hear. We hear again and again, you're not this body. Sometimes devotees, I've heard it tens and thousands of times, and I already know I'm not this body. But do you know? If you actually know you're not this body, you won't be attached to this body. You won't be attached to the objects of the senses. Are you still attached to the objects of the senses? Are you still attached to pleasures and pains, honor, dishonor, happiness, distress, success, failure, victory, defeat? If you know you're not this body, then you're detached from all these things. Health and disease. But we don't know. We have some intellectual understanding. But every time you hear it, if you hear it with a desire to learn, then you get deeper and deeper realizations through that sound vibration that you're actually not that body. And it will impel you to devotional activities by which you can realize that you're not this body. But if we just sit and listen and think, I already know this, why are you talking about this again? Then there's no benefit. And you remain in your egoistic conception, totally attached to your body. With your ego, you will think, I know, but there'll be no realization because you're not willing to hear submissively. So we must be anxious to hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we must be willing to pay a price. And that price is that we come and we listen attentively and we want to learn. And whatever spoken, if it is the proper Siddhanta, we thank Krishna for every word that's being spoken. Whether we've never heard it or whether we've heard it 1,000 times, we drink it. Because transcendental sound vibration is like nectar.
Some of you like kheer or halwa.
So when the feast comes and someone says, ah, here is some nice kheer, and you say, I've already tasted it.
I tasted it last week. I don't want it.
Someone says, this is very fresh halwa made by Sanat Kumar. And you say,
last year I had Sanat Kumar's halwa, so I've already had it. Is that the way you are with prasad? When your wife makes a nice preparation, you already made that for me 2 weeks ago. It's prasad. If you know that sweet rice is sweet, it doesn't matter, you'll have it. Devotees have been drinking sweet rice for 20 years and they're still anxious to drink more sweet rice, even though it's made with the same recipe. But when it comes to hearing the philosophy, which is sweeter than sweet rice, I've already heard it. I already know that. This is not right. The more we hear, the more we should want to hear again and again and again and again. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When we come to pick up our japa beads in the morning for japa, do we say, I already know this mantra. I know it by memory. I've heard it so many times. Is that the way you approach the Maha Mantra? But yet that's the way we approach the sound vibration of the principles, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It's a mantra. It's prasad. We want to hear again and again and again and again and again, because the more we hear and the more we're willing to practice what we hear, the more our spiritual lives are enriched. Shonaka Muni here, he's anxious to hear. And therefore he's asking so many questions just to induce Suta Goswami to speak more and more and more and more and more. And by our attentive enthusiasm to hear, we should want to also induce the Vaishnavas to teach us more and more and more. And if that is what we desire, Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of this desire tree. If we have a desire for Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam will give you Krishna. If you have a desire for love of Krishna, that love of Krishna is readily available by hearing Bhagavatam every day from the devotees of the Lord, and by applying the principles of Bhagavatam to our life. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, generally in giving a Bhagavatam class or any other pravachan also, there is a tendency to always see the material conditions, like the people in the audience and whether they know the basic philosophies and others. And to that also we try to modify what we speak and how we speak, etc. So how do we see that we see that it's also rightly done, for the audience. At the same time we are not having this material calculation. Otherwise we think, these people know it, we want to give something new and all this. How do we see that it's not materially contaminated and pure message is given?
That comes through realization. As we advance in Krishna consciousness, we become empowered. And one of the symptoms of that empowerment is, according to the Kala Desha Patra, the time, place,
and the people involved, Krishna teaches us how to present the same one truth in a way that it will most benefit the people. We cannot substitute realization for anything else. The philosophy is there, but which particular aspect of the philosophy, which particular analogies, how it should be spoken, how long it should be spoken, these are revealed. If we really and deeply want to help people understand Krishna consciousness, and we are genuinely striving to purify our own lives, then Krishna, in proportion, he actually gives us the intelligence by which we can present the philosophy so that people can really and truly be benefited. There's no material formulas. The first thing is we should only speak what we are authorized to speak by our spiritual master and by the disciplic succession. We should never speak what we have no authority to speak. Because when you're sitting in a temple, or when you're in a robe of a Vaishnava, or you're wearing the tilak of a Gaudiya Vaishnava, you no longer have any right to speak what you think. You are in a position of a representative. And you only have a right to speak what you are authorized by your superiors to speak. Never deviate from that principle. And within the authority of those words, as we have said, there are many ways of presenting it. There are many aspects to represent. We don't want to speak in such a way that people will think that I am learned, that I'm a very wonderful devotee. If that's what you want, Krishna will empower you to convince people that you're wonderful, but you won't help them any. And ultimately, you will hurt yourself. But if you have a genuine desire, or you have a genuine desire to benefit these people, to help these people, then certainly Guru and Krishna will give you the proper intelligence to speak in such a way that it will have the best benefit. But that should be our meditation. How could I best benefit these devotees or these guests? And we should pray to Guru Maharaj before speaking, please, give me the intelligence, give me the guidance to speak in such a way that your message will penetrate their hearts. When Srila Prabhupada was on the Jaladuta coming to America, he didn't know how to present Bhagavad philosophy to Americans. The philosophy was there, everything. He was the most vastly learned and realized soul. But how to present it to these people who were absolutely addicted to every sinful activity, who had not even the slightest trace of understanding of Vedic culture? How to present Bhagavad philosophy? He knew everything. He knew everything from the most basic fundamental principles of Bhagavad Gita to the highest realms of thought enunciated in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Antya-lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was fully knowledgeable and fully realized to the basic principles, you're not this body, up to the most intimate conjugal love affairs of Radha Krishna in the kunjas of Brajbhumi.
But when he was just about to begin his preaching mission, he was deeply immersed in praying to his Guru Maharaj and praying to Krishna, please give me the words that are suitable for these people to understand your message. Because Srila Prabhupada had a genuine desire to serve all living beings by giving them the enlightening words of Guru and Gauranga, he prayed, give me the intelligence. And how Krishna gave him the intelligence? That he was able to speak and present Krishna consciousness in such a way that people from every part of the world surrender their lives to Krishna. So we must follow in his footsteps. We must pray for that genuine desire to help people and pray to the previous acharyas and to Guru Maharaj to give us the intelligence and give us the words by which we can best help people come out of the darkness of suffering and attain pure loving devotional service to Krishna.
Maharaj, you mentioned that Shravanath Muni was inquiring in order to hear more and more from Suta Goswami. So is it that one must ask questions only when one has questions, or should one ask just to hear more and more?
Like you're asking now. They should be relevant questions, sincere questions. We should not ask questions just to show the people of the audience how clever our questions are. Some people ask questions not because they want to hear the answer, but they want everyone else to hear the question. Right? Sometimes we're at colleges and these students, they don't care anything what the answer is going to be, but they have these long, elaborate, challenging questions just to show all the other students what type of question I can ask. Huh? So actually, our questions should be motivated by what is most beneficial for all the people who have assembled, and as well as what is most beneficial to inspire the speaker to enlighten all of us. They should not be irrelevant questions. They should be relevant questions. They should be questions that prompt the speaker to enthusiastically glorify Krishna. Munaya sarupristoham bhavadbir lokamangalam yat kripa krishna samprasto yenatma suprasidati. The Goswami said to the sages of Naimasharanya that your questions are glorious because the subject matter of your questions is Krishna. Therefore, the answers to these questions are relevant to the ultimate benefit of all humanity. So it's best if we ask these questions. Questions with a genuine motive of improving our own spiritual lives. Yes.
I'd just like to share a little something. I wanted to firstly tell you that some of the things you said today had tremendous.
What new Vrindavan is that is coming back to the way Srila Prabhupada wanted it. People are very happy. We have given in the papers that new Vrindavan again back to ISKCON and Prabhupada style, and people are really, very soon new Vrindavan will be the best place on the planet. You know, people like to come because other places, particularly in America at this time, temples are, the preaching in the temple is not that wonderful as we see in India at this time. So the New Vrindavan, though book distribution and they are making members and collecting money, but that atmosphere of Vrindavan people are really missing in America. So that thing, that those people who are serious with the spiritual life, and for that Srila Prabhupada wanted something to happen in America. This New Vrindavan, as soon as it becomes full-fledged, is working towards that direction, part of ISKCON. This will be the best place for everything in America, and those things we are seeing at this time, and people are really taking, devotees, ISKCON devotees are very, very enlivened. They are coming, and life members are very enlivened for the new change. That's the
Hare Krishna. Arivo. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We'd like to welcome Mahaprabhu Das back to Bombay.
For further details of this cassette, please contact Radhanath Swami Tape Ministry, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Address is 7 KM Munshi Marg, Chowpatty, Bombay 400007, India.
Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, 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 Hari, Hari. Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Rama Hari Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari. Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Krishna Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Rama Hari Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari. Krishna Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Rama Hari Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Thank you. Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari 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 Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hare
Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari
Hare Krishna
Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Rama Hari Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari. Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari
Hare Krishna
Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari 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 Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari